الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So this year, the academic year at where we work, or generally for residencies, goes from July to July. And I guess in some ways it's similar to any academic schedule, that the semester is not necessarily congruent with the actual chronological year, which would you know, seem to start in January. And so come this July, there were certain changes because I changed employers. And when I changed employers, one of the there's some advantages, and then there's different ramifications. And one of the ramifications was that I no longer had the free parking that I used to have as a resident. You could try to get on one of the lots, but then you have to be on a waiting list, and there's a price that's involved. So instead of paying for paid parking in the garage, I just decided it's just as easy to park in the Forest Park over here and just walk over to the office, which is just basically across the street. So alhamdulillah, at the same time, that affords me the opportunity to get a little bit of exercise on a daily basis, and it affords me a little, the opportunity to be able to see the beautiful, scenery that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created on a daily basis. And it's just relaxing, both before and after work. So just recently when I was walking across, one of the things I mentioned, so when you're walking, there's a huge urban park. It's one of the largest urban parks in the whole country. And you'll see that, if you go in early in the morning, there's actually people who are relegated, whose actual job is just to maintain the park. So they come out in their big machineries, and then they're mowing the lawn from some areas, and they leave some areas untouched. But as I was walking, one of the things I noticed was that there's some areas of what we call tall grass, or high grass. And then there were other areas where it was just normal grass, which was cut low. And so I just started thinking about that, and one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to our mind was that there's a lesson to be taken from that. Oftentimes when you look at people in their lives, they often desire to be the tall grass. They want to be they want to be the tall foliage, because that's the one that's most easily recognizable. That's the one that gets the most attention. That is the one that is it's almost at eye level, so it's the one that catches your attention. And that's generally what people want to be. And people abhor being the low-lying foliage, right? Because that's the one that gets walked on, that's the one that gets ignored, that's the one that no one really even pays attention or even really cares about. There's some disadvantages to actually being the tall grass. And the first thing that comes to mind, the disadvantage of being tall in any sense, is that when you stand tall, they say the taller they are, the harder they fall. So, and that's really true, that the taller you try to get, in the dunya, the taller that you try to get with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taller that you try to get with people, the more easier you're knocked down. And it's often the people who are trying to stand the tallest that get cut the first. And the same thing happens with the lawnmower. Because if you're really close to the ground, you probably won't even get touched by the blade. If you're standing tall, right, you're going to come falling down. You come falling down. Those are the blades of grass that get cut, is the ones that get so tall. And the person will say, well, how does that make sense in my life, right? When I get tall or try to seek, if I'm in a prominent position, why should I get cut down, or how do I get cut down? The idea is that the further you go away from the ground, the less stability that you have. A person who's always worried about being famous, the one person who has fame and attention and popularity, all the time they're worried about maintaining that popularity. And the funny thing is, the way that popularity works is that it's not something in your own control. You actually put the keys of your car, the car of your life, in someone else's hand. And it's actually one of the poorest decisions that you can make, because you make all these decisions and you make all these investments based on something which you have absolutely no control over, which is how someone else is going to perceive you, or how someone else is going to take to you, or how someone else is going to think about you. And that's why it's so easy to fall. You don't fall in the sense that you might not lose that thing, but you fall from that situation of popularity. You fall from that, you know, false sense of being high. And you fall from, people build this fear about themselves, like this picture about themselves that I'm such and such. And that picture just as easily comes crashing down. And when that picture comes crashing down, then the rest of their life comes crashing down as well, because they had built this bubble about the I am this and everyone thinks this about me. But it's just a bubble, and bubbles are very easy to pop. And as soon as you pop it, everything falls. So that's what I mean by when I'm saying that the tall grass is the one that first gets cut. When it comes in the Quran that أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنك لن تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا. See, you know, if a grass, I've been studying for boards recently, so it's like, it's almost like living in a cave. And so my backyard has been neglected for a long time. And, you know, part of it has actually died and needs to be dethatched and reseeded. And the part that actually was alive was probably just the weeds. And the wheat grass, and it got so tall, right? And it got so tall. But even the wheat grass, after it gets to a certain height, it can't grow anymore and starts bending over. And that's sort of the same situation with human beings. That no matter how tall you want to get, no matter how much popularity a person seeks to get, you can, at a certain point, like life will bend you over. إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. When you're walking around thinking that you're all that, you're not going to rip apart the earth. وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. And you'll never reach the stature. You'll never reach the height of a mountain. There's a limiting, the system itself is self-limiting. You want to be high, but you're not going to reach that type of height. Right? A human being is limited by his own humanity. Right. A man is limited by his own manhood. And because of that, لَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. So you can't even go as high as you'd like. So if that makes sense, that there's some disadvantages of, there's some disadvantages of trying to get tall. And number two, that a person can't even get as tall as they'd like. So that it would behoove a person, particularly a mu'min, to stay close to the earth. منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. That from it you are made. منها خلقناكم. From it we have created you. وفيها نعيدكم. And we will return you to it. ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. And from it you will be resurrected once again. Right? Our whole lives revolve around the dirt. We are from dirt. We're going back to dirt. Bani Adam, he's just turab. It's just dust. So we were dust in the beginning. We're going to be dust again in the future, and we'll be resurrected from dust. That is our reality. And the closer a person stays to their own reality, the safer it is for the individual. But they often say in this country, keep it real. If you want to keep it real, the way we keep it real is that we just remember that we're dust, that we're earth, and we stay close to the earth. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be the low foliage? So, as I was walking up the hill, right, getting closer to King's Highway and then across King's Highway to get into the building, one of the things that comes to notice is that there's a large hillock of low grass, but then there's spotted trees that are scattered all across the park, and they sort in some areas they form a canopy, in other areas they're just scattered. So when you look at the trees, one of the things that first catches your eyes is this beautiful play of the sun as it strikes the different leaves, and the wind is rustling, and then there's a play of light, of the leaves as they're sort of glistening in the air. Sometimes they're sometimes they're glistening in the sun, and sometimes other ones are catching the shade. It just looks so beautiful, but there's one aspect of, a person says, if I have to be low foliage, what does that mean? The first thing that I guess that means is that you have to be, a person needs to get used to being in the shade. Because all the grass underneath the tree is not necessarily, you know, receiving the light. It's actually falling in the shade. And this is something that, you know, people don't want. People want their 5 minutes of fame. People want to live in what we call the limelight. People want to have their names. We know, and look at the words we use, right? We say limelight, have your name up in lights, right? Everyone wants to have, because there's an idea of recognition which is associated with, you know, with light. When in fact, our reality is that we just want to be in the shade. And you know, the closer you are to the earth, and the deeper you are in the earth, the less light you'll actually receive. The less light. I mean, if you're underneath the earth and you're stone underneath the earth, you get no light. You get no light. But that's our reality. Right? We don't need any light. Right? We don't need any light, nor do we desire any light. لا نريد علوًا في الأرض ولا فسادا. We do not seek any type of علو, any type of high position on the earth, ولا فسادا. And nor do we seek, nor do we desire any facade. And if you look at facade, you look at chaos in the world, and the whole world is full of it. People are being killed. People are being raped. Sanctions are being imposed on countries. There's zulm from unspeakable type of horrors that we, you know, come to know of. Just look at the Syrian people and their plight. You know, a person is just, you know, taken aback that can human beings do these type of things to other human beings. These are things that animals levy against each other, not humans against another. And وَلَا نُرِيدُ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. If you don't, so the question is, well, if there's this facade in the earth, then where is it coming from? It comes, actually, look in the Quran, right? The people said that we do not desire عُلُو فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. So facade came second. And so the source of facade is actually this desire for عُلُو, this desire to be higher than someone else. You know, I remember reading some social political commentary way back when I was much younger. But it stuck with me. They said that generally, if you don't understand the political interests which motivate political decisions, you can often bet on the bottom dollar. You can often bet on the bottom dollar. And oftentimes, it's not so different from the Arabian Peninsula, you know, back in 6th century Arabia, when there's different tribes which were fighting for resources. People are still fighting for resources, just on a different level. People are still fighting. No, people want to keep their, what we call kursi, right, or their sovereignty. And so they'll, you know, go through extensive measures to make sure that they don't get overturned. And you have intelligence things, and people lack freedom of speech, so on and so forth, just so that their sovereignty, right, which is basically ulu, right, that you're higher than everyone else, that doesn't get overturned. People want ulu in terms of how much mal they have. They want ulu in terms of how much popularity they have. They want ulu in every different single category. And that's why facade happens on an international level. That's why facade happens on a national level. And basically, that's why even facade happens in people's homes. Because one person wants to be above the other. Right? They want to be in control of another. And people are very, it's very hard for people to let go of this control. So we don't desire this ulu, right? We just desire to be who we are, which is turab. And that's one sign when a person realizes whether they're from the high foliage or the high grass or the low grass. It's just look in your life to see where you want, how much light you're looking for. If you're happy not to have any light, or actually stay away from light. There's, Sheikh Zulfiqar, he gave one example. It was very nice. He said that there's a certain plant, I think, what do you call it? It's called the shadow plant. And the shadow plant is this type of plant that is actually stays away from the light, and it always likes to stay in the shade. And he said that this is how a student or salik should be, that he should always be in the shade of his teacher. Right? That was the point that he was getting at. But that's, in many ways, that's the way that we also are at. Right? We don't want the attention of people. And this type of person has actually been praised in hadith, that the person who passes away, and there's very few women who grieve over him. Right? Just meaning that he was not necessarily a person of great status, and a person who didn't seek great fame or popularity, nor did he reach it, but a person who was, simple in that sense. And this is a type of simplicity. The second thing, or sign, that you can think of whether a person falls in this category or that, is that one of the things I noticed when walking through the park, or came to notice while walking through the park, was that because the people generally walk on the same path across the grass actually even gets effaced, right? It's just so that there's only dirt over there. And then there's like this narrow path that winds, and then you can just take the narrow path and follow it. And so the idea is that if you're going to be in the low-lying grass, then oftentimes you will get stepped on. Oftentimes, now as a Muslim or a mu'min, we don't seek to get stepped on, right? We don't oppress others, nor do we desire to be oppressed. That is not the Islamic way. But the idea is, how do we react when someone does step on us? Because it happens in life. People are going to rub you the wrong way. People are going to push you the wrong way. How do you react? I'll tell you how the earth or the grass reacts. It's ready for it to get effaced in order to support another. Right? The grass is gone, right? It rather itself become effaced, but it still provides the support so other people can walk forward. And the question is that, can we give, you know, reciprocate evil with good? I mean, someone does something bad to us, and then can you, you know, lend support and lend a shoulder for that person? The very same shoulder that they stepped on, can you extend so that they can climb on it and then they move to the next thing? You know, next level. Back home they say tang kichna. People get so jealous when anyone is going ahead of you, they want to pull the other person down. Our lot is not, we don't pull other people down, we're the ladder that people climb on. We're the ladder that people climb on. We say, come, climb and get ahead. And we feel happy to have that ability to do that. And so that's the second sign, that you look in your own life that when someone says something to you that perhaps they shouldn't have said, or does something to you that they shouldn't have done, how do you react? If you just take it in stride, you can take it with a smile and say, no, leave it, what's the big deal? That also shows a person that there's a certain amount of refinement that has occurred within the person. You know, this one person, who was working on themselves, their wife said something to them that they shouldn't have said. And so generally when the wife says it, that's the first time the anger comes out, because the husband says, oh, I'm the husband, and this and that. But the person said, no, I'm just a man, I'm just human, I'm a bashar, you know, just let it go, what's the big deal? Am I some big thing that, you know, that person has to respect me? And so that's a sign of this refinement coming within an individual, because they say that, no, like how Rasulullah said, I'm a slave and I eat as a slave. But there was no person who was more respected or should have been more respected on the face of earth than Rasulullah ﷺ. Never before, never after. But Rasulullah ﷺ, imagine when the non-believer came, or the Jew, he came to Rasulullah ﷺ, he literally grabbed the collar of Rasulullah ﷺ and started pulling it violently, right? And he said, you Quraysh are all like this. You're poor payers. What had basically happened is they had bought something and given something on, I don't know if a mortgage was given or rahan was given, but they had bought something and something was due, but it wasn't due yet, meaning that payment hadn't come due yet. So now, for a person who's honorable, for a person who cares about their own dignity, that's the worst curse you can put on them. That's saying that you're not an honest person and you don't pay on time. Then it infuriates an individual to say that you're... No, then who is he saying this to? He's saying this to As-Sadiq al-Amin, right? And he's saying it to him. And so, Umar radiallahu anhu was ready to have his head probably, right? He was there, and Rasulullah said, leave him, right? He says, he has a haq. He has a haq. He didn't say that, I'm the Habib of Allah and you're pulling on my neck. He didn't say that, oh, I don't even owe you the money, right? He actually found something which is better, the best of what he could find for that person. And he said, just give it. So this was a person who, there was no one who was higher than him. But he never lost his bashariya, right? He never lost his humanness. He never lost his sense of being close to the ground. So this is a second situation, second way or sign that you can see how close you are to the earth. And the third thing that comes to mind, the third thing that comes to mind is, if you look in the park, there's so much grass and there's very few trees. Right? For every one tree, you might have 100 blades of grass, or 1,000 blades of grass, or maybe 10,000 blades of grass for every one tree. Everyone wants to be a tree, no one wants to just be the grass. And what that means is that sometimes people have to get used to just being normal. Right? Every time a person desires to feel special, to be special, and that's why they make decisions to dress differently, to speak differently, to talk differently, so much so that people even forget who they are themselves. They have complete loss, this complete loss of the loss of self-identity, because they describe define themselves by how they wish to be perceived or how they wish to be seen by others. There is a very large place in the deen to think of oneself as normal. That doesn't mean that you can't like nice things, but the idea is that you just be normal, live normal. You know, sometimes people feel uncomfortable. If they make decisions because they want to be different from everyone else. That shouldn't be the motivator, right? That's what I'm getting at. Should just be fine. Okay, she has that dress, and you're wearing the same dress. So what? Right? That's like death, right? If you go to a wedding and you wore the same sharara as someone else, it's like, how could that have ever happened? Or you wear the same sharara the same sari that you wore last time. You can't repeat a dress, right? That's like against the rule. That's like, you know, the 10 cardinal rules. You can never do that. That's probably number 7 or 8. And I already wore that to that, you know, that party. If I do that, that's just like, you know, normal people do that. What are you? All of us are normal, right? All of us are normal. Why do we think that we're anything other than normal, right? So the idea is that we should just be comfortable with being normal and living normally. And when you see yourself as normal, then you don't expect special treatment. And you don't expect other people to treat you differently. It's much easier to be humble because your whole expectations have changed. And in the same ways that there's certain deleterious effects of trying to get tall, there's certain benefits of actually staying short, staying close to the ground. And number one of those is that you have so much stability. Yeah, when you're humble and you're close to the ground and you're close to your own humanness, life is so much more stable. Right? Because you haven't built yourself up to be something that you're not. You're just who you are, your expectations are simple, your life is simple, you are simple. And that's why it's very hard for life to push you over. Because if you push you over, where are you going to fall? You're already on the ground. That's where you are. So for example, like you're living simple and someone says to you something that you don't like, or another person, the other person might have been thinking about it for, you know, 2 or 3 days. Like, why did she say such and such thing to me? What was she thinking? What happened? You're getting this whole thing. Then she's talking about it to 2, 3 people. Those people are thinking about it for 2, 3 days. And it becomes this whole like cycle. A person who's close to the earth, they say someone says something, they say, okay, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to become humble, or no, they just take it and just take it in stride and just move on. It doesn't really affect them because they're strong, right? They're close to the earth. You know, they have bought a new car, it gets into an accident, and now they have got a replacement car, which is like a 1990 Geo or something, right? People don't even know what this car is anymore. You get that car, and now a person's like, oh my God, a person who's living tall, they'll think, oh, what will everyone in the masjid think of me? They'll start thinking, oh, how can I'm a such and such person, and how can I be driving such a car? A person who's close to the earth will just say, alhamdulillah, I have a car. Okay, so these winds of life don't really affect you that much because you're just so close to the ground. And the final thing, and this is actually the real irony of this whole thing, the real paradox, is that when you actually get close to the earth, you'll always remain close to the earth, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you to the mountains and He'll raise you to the skies. مَنْ خَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ Whoever humbles himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will raise that individual. It is a general principle in the deen. Every time you put yourself down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you up. And I've seen it with my own eyes. But the question is, like, how does this happen? And it's really a very simple way to think about it is, like, if you go to the mountains, for example, if you ever go to Rocky Mountains, you know, there's grass on the floor, but there's also grass that runs all the way up the mountains. and it cover, it literally blankets, or like there's foliage that literally will blanket the mountains. So you can sit and you can either be, you know, low-lying foliage on the ground here, or you could be low-lying foliage which is sitting on the mountain. What happens is when you humble yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like transports you from here and He puts you on the mountain. For the person themselves, they still see themselves as close to the ground, right? But for the rest of the world, it's visible to all. And that's how we actually, that's the irony of it, because people who try to reach, you know, the level of a mountain, no matter how much you want, a blade of grass will never grow as tall as the mountain. But you can take that piece of grass and you can transplant it and put it in a mountain, and if it takes root, then it will grow over there, right? And then it's visible through the entire area. And that's what happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes people. I mean, you look at all the righteous people in the past. Each one of them, we look at them as what? Stars. Not even on the mountain. We look at them as stars. They're guiding lights for us. They're lighthouses for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that position. So, when we put ourselves down, that's just what happens. Right? Then that's one way. We don't do it for... And it's a very self-contained system. If you do it with a bad intention, it doesn't work, right? If you say that, oh, I'm going to play like I'm humble so that I can get attention, like they say, like, what is it? False pride, false humility is half of pride. Oh, no, brother, mashallah, no, I don't. And inside you're thinking, oh, I'm so great, right? Oh, no, alhamdulillah, it's only with the tawfiq of Allah. And inside the person is thinking, oh, man, I'm so awesome. Right? That's like half pride. Real humility is just, sometimes a person will come and give a person praise and they just won't say anything, they'll just walk on and they say, oh, what a proud person. They didn't say anything because it didn't even affect them. They didn't even notice. It's like someone saying that, oh, you're wearing a white shirt. But you, what is there to comment? Okay, I'm wearing a white shirt. What's the big deal? The same way someone comes and says, oh, you're so pious. It's like, it doesn't affect you. It's like water that just goes over a person's back. It doesn't really affect you. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who don't seek, highness on the earth. Allah makes us amongst those who are humble, who are able to benefit others, and that He allows us this type of stability in our lives that allows us to get through this life in an unscathed sense, and also in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.